Well, hello there. It's Ari Rosenbaum with another fun-filled episode of that 401k podcast. I'm outside here, so if you hear some outside background, I'm recording it outside rather than the air-conditioned confines of my office. But this week's episode, we're going to talk about the basic ingredients for a successful retirement plan practice. Certainly one of my favorite topics, and we'll explain why, but of course, what podcast would be without an introduction to the events that we have scheduled? That 401k Virtual Conference 5 will be on Friday, August 14th, starting at noon. I originally scheduled at 9 a.m., which made absolutely no sense when we have so many people who attend on the West Coast. So it'll be noon to about 2, 2:30, working on some lineups as to who will present. It's going to be fun events, of course. And we're going to do another 401k virtual bunch as I record this. I record it on Thursday for Friday, so that means the last virtual bunch, we already had it. We'll have one on August 13th, the day before the virtual conference, 4 p.m. That's a Thursday, August 13th. It's a nice half hour, 40 minutes to talk about retirement plan topics. We'll schedule a guest, and to me, it's a lot of fun. And then, of course, as we plot as we're going to do with the live events for 2021, hopefully we can have them. I think back in March, I thought, this will be over by the summer, like everybody else thought. And, you know, here we are, and a lot of sporting events and are not going to have any crowds throughout 2020, so we'll see what's going to happen with Vegas if we have it in December, maybe push it back to February. But January, we are going to take the national conference and we're going to do it virtually. I think that that's really the best thing to do. I just think, you know, with what was going on, Napa finally announced that they were going to go all virtual in September. I think that's going to be the new normal. And, you know, even with the vaccine, I really do believe that a lot of people are going to cut back on travel. So rather than, you know, schlep everybody to, one coast or the other, let's do something virtually. And if we're going to do it virtually, let's give a break to the plan providers who sponsor it. And more importantly, to the attendees who, you know, would have spent thousands of dollars in travel to an attended event. And so people may think I'm crazy, but the early bird special for an attendee who wants to attend the event is $20.21. You want to pay for autographs for the guests that we're going to have. It'll cost you an extra $100. You want a t-shirt, it'll cost you another $20 or whatnot. So I think the top attendee price is $140.21. Compared to other virtual conferences in terms of content, they could meet us with content and maybe do a better job with content or just as good. But in terms of the costs involved, you know, Rich Lurita, who we'll talk about again in this episode, always proved to me that it's a relationship-driven business, this retirement plan business, and that if you, you're nice to people and you're kind to people, and you do right by them, then people are going to remember you. So rather than charge you a couple hundred bucks and only have a handful of you to show up, I think it's best to, you know, like I said, $20.21. We're in the connection business, I just think it's a great opportunity for everybody. So go to that 401ksite.com and sign up. People have been signing up. We're going to add more sponsors as there's more interest, and we get closer to January. And, of course, the early bird specials on registration ends Thanksgiving. So let's get to the episode. Now, when it comes to topics, helping advisors and TPAs and other plan providers build a practice has always been my favorite topic. Just recently, I think I might have mentioned on the podcast, I worked at a medium-sized law firm in when I was getting my tax LLM degree at Boston University. It was a Boston law firm. They used to be located at 125 Summer Street. I I don't know if Marsha Wagner's office is there now, but I know that Shepherd Kaplan, which is a RIA in Boston, has the same, is in the same building. But anyway, this law firm has been around for over 100 years. And what was really odd was a handful of their real estate attorneys just split off and just started their own practice. And we're talking about partners who were, you know, at the firm for 50 years plus. And the law firm had a kind of weird blog post about the change where, you know, it was just very patronizing to the attorneys, you know, while they wind down their careers and kind of make an issue of their ages and kind of make issue that, you know, one of the partners wanted to have the practice closer to his home. And the CEO, who was also an attorney, this new CEO, you know, it was just really odd. It was just very patronizing. And as somebody who's kind of petty a lot, I think it was even really petty by my standards. So I, you know, long story short of it, one of the partners was really, really nice to me, and I reached out to him, and I just wanted to tell him, you know, you were nice to me. I remember who was nice to me, and I especially remember who was not nice to me, and I wish you best and whatever. And, you know, and I heard back, and he thanked me and whatnot. When you're starting out in this business, or, you know, at any time in this business, I think that, you know, I don't know, I can't speak for you, but I remember the people that were nice to me and the people that weren't. And one of the nicest people is Richard Lorita, which we'll discuss. But, you know, when I started Meyer Suozzi as an ERISA attorney, associate attorney, you know, I thought one way to drum up business is to write helpful articles to advisors and providers and help them get clients and kind of give them some tips on, you know, how I think you can be successful. And so I think the number one thing for a plan provider to be successful is to really develop a niche. To me, the ability to stand out, you know, I did become one of the top five or top 10 ERISA attorneys in the country based on my rugged good looks. I stood out because I developed a niche with the flat fee billing and, more importantly, the articles and, you know, all the social media and all that kind of stuff. But, you know, the idea was I was going to, you know, stand out. I just think that, you know, I looked at what other attorneys were doing, and I just realized that, you know, if I offered a flat fee for legal work, you know, that was a really great marketing point because most law firms charge by the hour, and they're kind of hazy and not transparent in fees when talking to a client about how much something will cost. And there's nothing worse than getting a law firm bill where you think something's going to cost $3,000 and it costs $10,000, because so many associate attorneys have to puff up their hours, and the partners got to puff up their hours, and it stops becoming a business it stops becoming a business where they're helping clients and more of a business to bill to pay for that huge overhead. And, you know, as a plan provider, you have to develop your niche. Look what's out there in the marketplace, and, you know, just stand out. You know, as a TPA, look what other TPAs are doing and offer something different and unique. Same thing with advisor. You know, obviously the advisors who went with the 338 model before everyone else did kind of stood out and became market leaders. And when 338s, you know, that practice became more and more popular with plan sponsors, and those who developed first were going to stand out. And another way to develop a successful retirement plan practice is networking, but networking with the right people. I think the greatest thing that ever happened to me in the retirement plan business was meeting Rich Lorita. Now, Rich Lorita was the, I'm sure people are bored with the stories, but Rich Lorita was the top salesperson at Cibus Retirement Services, at one point it was Mobius Tech, then it was Cibus Retirement Services, Inc. And then when I worked with Richard Geller Group, and, you know, Rich, in between Cibus, Cibus Retirement Services, Inc., all their plans and whatnot, that business was purchased by BISIS, which became Census. And Rich left for another TPA, and he was kind enough to recommend me. This TPA, which was Geller Group, he talked to Sheldon Geller and said, you know, you should hire Ari, he's really good. And Sheldon Geller's like, what do I need another risk attorney? But, you know, Sheldon interviewed me, got me a job, and within 6 weeks, I was the head of risk attorney at Geller Group, whatever, you know, that means. But Rich was a larger-than-life character. He was the type of guy you wanted to be near. I mean, he was just the life of the party. He was so much fun. You know, he'd, you know, bring me to sporting events and this, this, and that. And he didn't have to. Rich, he knew that I knew a thing or two about ERISA. And Rich couldn't spell 401k if you spot him the 4, the O, the 1, and the K. So, you know, he developed a relationship with me and would go to client meetings and whatnot. And so many connections of people that I still, you know, some of my near and dearest friends in the retirement plan business are people that I met through Rich. Larry Davis, who, if you've been to a live in-conference event, Larry Davis is the guy who books my athletes and usually shows up at these events. I met Larry Davis through Rich. I met Larry. Larry was a vice president at Steiner Sports. He developed a relationship with Rich. So sometimes when there was a signing at the Roosevelt Field Mall, Rich would be asked to help out security and whatnot. And Rich would talk to Larry and let me cut in line. You know, when Reggie Jackson was there, when Goose Gossage, first time I met Goose Gossage, and Tino Martinez, and, you know, a lot of people back in the day. You know, but really, you know, and then some other people, Bill Shorey's. Bill Shorey's is a great friend. He's DCIO with Invesco in the New York area. Bill Shorey's was the first plan provider to commit to that 401k conference at Citi Field, the very, very first one. And, you know, I've seen him, he was at the MetLife Stadium one. Hopefully when we do Yankee Stadium one of these days, hopefully when we have live events, hopefully Bill Shorey's will be there. And, you know, networking with retirement plan professionals really is about developing relationships, and it's not trying to sell them, it's trying to sell you their services up front. There's nothing worse, again, I go on and on and on. When you go on LinkedIn and somebody wants to connect to you, and, you know, I'll be honest, right now, automatically, if you are in certain industries, I will not accept your LinkedIn invitation. Those industries tend to be with marketing, digital marketing, SEO, websites, people who work with attorneys in developing their practice, any provider of litigation support, since I don't do litigation. So it's like, you know, with LinkedIn, it's like, I want to connect with people that, you know, are good for my business, and somebody trying to sell me something isn't good for my business. It's good for their business. So I avoid that. But then you'll meet plan providers, advisors who, you know, somebody from one of the big insurance companies reached out, like a local advisor, and said, oh, you want to work with me? I'll give you we have a program where, you know, you get back, I don't know, 25-50% of the investment fee. And I don't want to go into legality of that, but I be honest, when you're an attorney and you get a fee for legal work, I find it unscrupulous to collect another fee. And I know several ERISA attorneys, a very well-known ERISA attorney, one who's passed away. We'll talk about that person. There was an ERISA attorney who passed away not too long ago, Florida-based, and not only did he collect a legal fee, he would also collect a portion of the advisory fee from you know, certain TPAs that were producing TPAs. And, you know, I'm spilling tea here, but I'm not using that guy's name. But he, like I said, he did pass away. He actually, I know, he created another company to collect that fee, so the large law firm that he was a part of would not know that. But that's spilling tea in some ways. But, you know, I don't like any relationship where people are trying to offer me, you know, wet my beak with advisory fee that I did not earn and that it doesn't really belong to me. So dealing with Rich and dealing with relationships, he really taught me that, you know, relationships take time, relationships require trust. But when you're nice to people and you're good to people, like, you know, the attorney that I just mentioned, Neil Markson, they remember you. They remember, you know, when I talk to advisors and they ask me a question and I never hear from them, and 5 years later when they have something to refer me to, they will. You know, it takes time. It's no quick rise. I remember years ago I was hired by an advisory firm. They were they were paying me, you know, $500 a month retainer, and guy left his job to become an advisor, and within 6 months he was kaput. Which to me, you can't give yourself 6 months to succeed in this business. You know, when I first started on my own, I had a good friend of mine, Cherie Tallerman from Plain Perfect. She said, you know, it's going to take you 2 years. And she was kind of right. It did kind of take 2 years before things really achieved the level of success that I needed. So developing relationships, developing practice, it's going to take time. It's like a garden. There are no shortcuts. And like I said, it's developing relationships over time. Don't go for the quick sell. I don't, as an ERISA attorney, when talking to advisors and TPAs, I don't say, oh, who's your ERISA attorney? People know what I do. People know my solutions. When they need me, they'll call me. I don't want to be pushy. Maybe if I was more successful, if I was pushy, but I really doubt that. I really think that pushy people don't get that far in the business. I think that the most successful people I've met are people who really bother to develop relationships over time. Another key facet of having a successful retirement plan practice is recruiting good staff and keeping them. You know, I spent 12 years working for others, 10 years on my own. Of the 12 years that I worked for others, almost 10 years were spent working for third-party administration firms. If I could say one thing about my fellow employees is that good staff is very hard to find. I work with some very exceptional plan administrators. I think when you look at excellent administrators, I'll throw out a name over there, Jerry Chicalise, who's now with Simple Benefits. He's now in sales. He's based in Charlotte. John Grace, another great administrator. He's also in sales for Chernoff Diamond in Long Island. I work with some really great administrators, but those were actually few and far between. Most of the administrators that I had worked with in these two TPA firms weren't very, very good. You know, it had to do with a lack of training. You know, sometimes they would just find really inefficient employees. You know, I worked for one TPA in particular where the guy in charge, the guy running the place, I used to joke that he would save $5 to save a dollar and he'd be happy about it. One time when I, in the interim, I recommended him to hire a really great defined benefit plan administrator. I think the guy was fantastic. And the CEO says to me, he didn't want to pay an administrator $80,000 when he found an actuary for $75,000. The guy was an enrolled actuary, and the guy was an absolute disaster. One day, he was caught sleeping on the job, and he was pretty quickly fired, soon after that. Which, of course, reminds me of that joke in the movie Clerks, where Randall's in the video store and the customer's irate goes to the quick mark. And actually, Randall was asleep. The doors are closed, sorry, the store was closed, and the guy went next door to the Quick Stop talking to Dante and says, you know, he's not there. I want to drop off a video. And he was saying that last time he was there, Randall was sleeping. And so Dante suggested that maybe Randall wasn't sleeping, he was resting his eyes. So maybe that Dom, that actuary, maybe he was resting his eyes. But good employees are hard to find. I went to Stony Brook University, proud Seawolf or Patriot for the 3 years I was there. And the final year I was there, it was the Seawolves. So I guess I'm a Seawolf. But anyway, CBiz, which was based in Syosset, about 25, 30 minutes away from Stony Brook, they would recruit heavily from Stony Brook. You know, a lot of math majors and whatnot. And the problem was they never bothered to train these employees. They made these people, you know, trade processors and plan administrators without really giving them the training that they need. And not only do you need to give employees training, but you also have to give them continuing education. You know, I've come across plan administrators 20 years experience who are just dreadful, because they probably didn't get the training at the beginning or never got the continuing education that they need. How many, I tell the story, it was in 2007, and one of the administrators comes up to me and we're talking about this plan, and he was telling me that the vesting schedule for the matching contributions on the plan is 7 years. And I said, that's impossible. And he says, why? I said, because they got rid of a 7-year schedule for matching contributions in 2002 under EGTRA. He didn't know that, you know. They only administered the plan what was on the Relias system. So if a maniac put in the wrong plan provisions, and that maniac was the conversion, head of conversions, person, if you've read my books, and I really did not like the woman because she was a backstabber. But anyway, she would put in the incorrect information, so the plans would be administered incorrectly, because nobody bothered to look to the plan file to see what was correct. You know, I think at the end of the day, when I was at Meyer Suozzi and I kind of knew that my end was coming over there, I said to myself, you know what? I had enough of working for other people. I needed to work on my own. I think when you're treated as if you didn't matter, I think if you're treated as, you know, someone with great ideas and not, you know, people listening to you, you kind of get disillusioned. And especially at Meyer Suozzi when, you know, again, you know, trying to market, trying to help people out, and it was going absolutely nowhere. In terms of building a book of business, I said, you know what, I could do this on my own and be successful at it. Thankfully, I have, somewhat. I'll never be as successful as I want to be, but that's just me. Another way to develop a great retirement plan practice is great marketing. You know, if they don't know about you, they're not going to know about you, no matter how great your services are. You know, you need some great marketing, and quite frankly, most of the plan provider marketing I've seen, it just sucks. And, you know, I think the main reason is so many people do it in-house. Or they use a marketing company who have absolutely no idea on the retirement plan business. And I think that you, developing marketing, there's tons of people out there who are very good at marketing for plan providers. Samantha Russell, to me, right off the bat, is somebody I think is fantastic. She did present my last virtual conference. I think that she's fantastic. So I would certainly recommend her. She did a great presentation. Problem is, with marketing materials, too much of it's verbose. They're on a level that only a TPA or an ERISA attorney can understand. Plan sponsors don't really have the time or the comprehension to go through materials. So I remember years ago when one of these TPA firms sent me a brochure on a MEP, and it was 20 pages, and I said, you know what, you're going to lose the plan sponsor on page 2. So it's important to find a good marketing person that really understands retirement plan business. next thing to successful retirement plan practice, you know, a really good ingredient is obviously caring about your clients. I don't think it was a funny story. There's a local bagel store that I go to, and it was taken over. There was a guy by the name of Rob who whose family owned it for 45 years. And Rob's business was struggling ever since Hurricane Sandy. So Rob sold his bagel store, Stuffin' Bagels in Oceanside. And he sold it to a family. I think they're from Uzbekistan. I only know that they're from Uzbekistan because a friend of mine told me. They went from Uzbek to Israel because I understood the Hebrew that they were speaking. So anyway, long story short of it, this new bagel store owner, bagels are great, still great. There have been some changes. And during this coronavirus epidemic, you know, in here in New York, it's been mandated for months that if you want to go into a store, you have to wear a mask. One Sunday, I just heard a great disturbance while I was online outside of the store. And apparently it was a friend of mine from high school who lives in the neighborhood who got into a fight with the owner's son during the store. Because there was an old man who refused to wear a mask, and you know, there's signs on the glass windows that says, you know, if you go in with a mask, you're not going to get served. You must wear a mask when you're inside. So my friend from high school was very, very upset. She says, you know, I've been coming here for years and years and years while Rob is here. I'm not coming here anymore. And that's what she told me. And I mentioned it to the owner's son the next morning. You know, because she was yelling at him. I said that, you know, he really made a mistake. She was a longtime customer. This was an old guy who was very, very, I've never seen him before. And he was a jerk because when I was outside, he's like, when he saw everybody wearing a mask, like adults and kids are, he says, oh, why are you guys wearing masks? Because we have respect and we want to follow the law and we don't want to give anybody coronavirus. I don't want to be political and don't become medical doctors and tell me the efficiency of a mask. That, to me, is not the point. The point is the rules are wear a mask. I don't care if science doesn't promote that idea when, you know, the governor says this is what the rule is. I'm not better than the rule. So anyway, I tell the son, you know what, you made a mistake. This woman was a longtime customer. Why did you do that? Why don't you just tell the guy – why don't you piss the one guy who wasn't wearing the mask off and then doing that instead of pissing off the 20 people behind him who were wearing the mask? And he says to me, you know what? He didn't want to get into a fight. And my friend from high school will be back because they all come back. They always come back, even though there are three or four other bagel stores in town. That's the wrong attitude to have. Your clients are important. You should never take them for granted. And it should be interesting that the bagel store, the son, I haven't seen him for the last couple weeks. You can't make excuses when you goof. And you should never nickel and dime them. I remember when I left a certain TPA, they replaced me with three people. Two ERISA attorneys and a paralegal. I would have stayed if they were just giving me more money because I want to say the three people hired to replace me probably cost double what I cost at the time. But anyway, they replaced me, and it reminds me of the story in Caddyshack when Lou, who was running the Caddyshack, was losing money at the track. He started to increase the prices on Coke. And, you know, you don't want to hear that. Who cares? It's not my problem. So anyway, they replaced him with three different people. So then they start increasing the prices. The plan amendment price went from $350 to $500. But what was more important, they started a charge for a safe harbor notice, $150. $150 for a notice where I simply, in those days, you'd search and replace the years and edit it, and it was pretty much the same notice as the previous year. Clients got upset by it. Don't charge me $150 when you used to give it to me for free. That's what I mean by nickel and dime people. Don't try to cheat them. Don't try to, you know, nickel here, nickel there. And I think when dealing with clients, empathy goes a long way. You need to really care about them and need to understand their needs and that your decisions may impact them. Don't take them for granted. If you have empathy, you're not going to take them for granted because you're going to see things from their side of it when you increase your fees or when you unfortunately do some shoddy work. You know, your decisions on pricing and services and how you conduct yourselves don't end up in a vacuum. They might harm your clients, and they're going to harm, they could harm the relationship you have with them and with other plan providers. And I always say, unhappy clients never leave. When they leave, it's because they're not happy. They're not happy about something. And last but not least, give me a call. Listen, it's a commercial plug. This is my podcast. I can, many years ago, I'm going to get in trouble for saying this, but many years ago, there were these regional events where you got to speak and you pay to speak. And I think the big thing was you couldn't make a commercial for yourself. And when I do these conferences and I have plan providers paying thousands and thousands, I mean, on national event, thousands and thousands of dollars to present, of course they can have a commercial. When you pay, it's a commercial. So I kind of laugh at that. But yeah, it's commercial. It's my podcast. So I'll make a commercial. One of the niches I developed as an ERISA attorney was an open door policy to retirement plan providers. You have questions about starting a business, improving your business. You have questions about clients. Give me a call. I've helped plan providers over the years. Some of them, you know, a good chunk of them, probably half of them never brought me business ever. And that's fine. It's just my way of paying it forward. Just the way Rich Lorita paid it forward for me in 2002 when he recommended me to Sheldon Geller, Geller Group. I will never forget that. He didn't have to do that. You know, of course, people say, well, he did it what was best for him because he wanted to surround himself with people that he knew and he could trust. I get that. But, you know, he paid it forward. You know, I need to pay it forward as well. So whether you need help with ERISA, or you need help setting up a multiple employer plan, a pooled employer plan, or you need an independent ERISA 316 administrator, you'll give me a call. You know what I do. That's the extent of it. I should put that on my business card from now on. You know what I do. And I'm always happy to help. So again, thanks for hearing this podcast. Go to that 401ksite.com for further information on all our events. Sign up for that 401k Virtual Conference 5. 401k Virtual Bunch, and that 401k National Virtual Conference. Starting rate at $20.21. Thank you so much. Take care. Bye.